We go from the NFL to college football. This guy's going to be a part of a big event that's coming up here in town at the College Football Hall of Fame next week. He is Paul Feinbaum joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker Line. Paul, always a pleasure having you on the program. How are you?
It is so great to be on. I wish I was where you guys currently are. I'm in Nashville covering basketball. You're covering baseball outside. I like it.
Life is pretty good here in Orlando, no question about that. And while we're on the topic, Georgia gets eliminated last night. Tom Crean gets emotional afterwards. I mean, we thought going into this year there was no place to go but up for Georgia basketball. Well, lo and behold, we're saying that again going into next year.
Well, I mean, I understand the change, but outside of a recruit or two that looks like a difference maker, I didn't see much this year that impressed me. I thought the play on the court was abysmal, and ultimately, Tom Crean can say, well, you should have gotten rid of all the players. Well, do it. I mean, don't make excuses. Get the job done. You're making a fortune.
Paul Feinbaum with us. Let's talk some college football a little bit. I know that Tony Barnhart had a chance to have a conversation with Kirby Smart, and he's not happy about the way the Sugar Bowl went down. He's not happy about blowing yet another double-digit lead against Alabama. We asked this question right after that game when they lost to Alabama. 2 years in a row, the same thing seems to happen with backup quarterbacks. When do you start to say, okay, it's time to ask Kirby Smart some tough questions?
Well, it's a legitimate issue to talk about, but I will say this. It's a confluence of events that is difficult to predict, but I will give Kirby Smart credit from this standpoint. He has put this program on the precipice. Now, let me say, a year from now, if they're backsliding and they blow another chance, then I think we're in that zone where you start to wonder, are we seeing Mark Richt part two? I don't think we are. I genuinely believe Kirby Smart is the greatest threat to Nick Saban in a million years. I don't think he or you or I or anyone could have predicted losing in a similar fashion. It does reek of being unprepared. I mean, there's no way you couldn't have been prepared for anything in a game like that. You're playing for the championship. But I'm still, and I'm not one that often does this, I'm still willing to give him a little bit of slack, because I think this program has recruited so well and is so close that I would like to see if he can finish the job.
The easiest way to find out what a guy thinks about another guy, and I'll ask you, if you had $100, are you betting that Kirby Smart will win a national title at the University of Georgia?
I am. Because I think this may sound a little strange, but I think even though he has lost to Nick Saban twice, he's the only coach out there that I think has gotten inside Nick Saban's head. I will blame Kirby Smart, I won't blame him as much as maybe some fans will for costing himself a shot at the national championship, but I do think it's Kirby Smart's fault that Nick Saban didn't win a national championship. I say that for this reason. Kirby Smart beat Nick Saban in recruiting last year. That hasn't happened since Saban arrived from Miami nearly 11 years ago. It drove Saban off the deep end. Now Saban's class was still top five. That followed number one, and number one. But he reacted to it in such a way that he dumped some longtime coaches. He brought in recruiters who, by the way, couldn't coach. Saban had to take away the defensive coordinator play calling responsibilities from his guy this year very early in the season. He was a great recruiter, but he wasn't a defensive coordinator. So by the time they got to Clemson, they had a really good team, but the coaching was subpar, and that goes back to Kirby beating Saban. Now, Saban came back this year, and I think that battle will go on. But, you know, if you look at who are the threats to Saban, obviously, you know, let's move Dabo Swinney off the table. He's already proven it twice in 3 years. Jimbo Fisher looks like a legitimate threat, but I still think Kirby Smart can upset Nick Saban. I think, and I know I'm going on long here, but I think that's an intense battle. Don't believe it when you hear Saban and Kirby Smart talk about their affection and respect for each other. They can't stand each other right now.
From a football point of view, they can't stand each other.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I mean, listen, I don't think they're going to – I mean, but Kirby Smart, remember Kirby Smart spent all those years under Nick Saban. he knows what it's like to be an assistant. Even though he was Saban's top assistant, Saban does not treat his assistants well. In fact, he treats them shabbily. And, you know, I think Kirby left there, and you know, there was a lot of finger-pointing toward Kirby, as you guys have heard. Even though they won the championship, I think Alabama gave up nearly 40 points to Clemson. That was pointed toward – they pointed toward Kirby. And what really created the friction that exists to this day is that Alabama officials and coaches blame Kirby Smart for ripping off the Inner Sanctum recruiting room, which is, you know, if you're in Saban's office, you go into this secondary office where they keep all the prospects. And what I mean by that is it's that Kirby went to recruits and said, listen, we want you. You're number one on our list. But I know for a fact that Alabama has you third or fourth or fifth. And that cost Alabama some key recruits, and they have not forgiven Kirby Smart yet in Tuscaloosa.
Paul Feinbaum does join us. But isn't this the infamous all is fair in love and war? And by the way, the idea, if you're not doing that, I'd have a problem with my coach, the guy that I just hired, if he isn't playing that game.
Absolutely. Listen, but he's the first coach in my mind who has been able to stand up to Saban Now that may change in the future. Jeremy Pruitt's out there at Tennessee. I mentioned Jimbo. There are other coaches around the SEC and around college football. But Kirby Smart has done the best job so far. Now, listen, I can't argue with what's happened in these two games. It's pretty painful when Georgia, a school that has not won a national championship since 1980, has had two shots at it. I don't think they would have won this year. I think Clemson would have still beaten Georgia, but last year, I mean, they had smooth sailing. That would have been like stealing.
All right, I'm going to go back to the well. You said you'd put your 100 on Kirby. We know Jimbo has his. Who in the SEC, who else would you bet on walking away at some point from the school they're at with a national title in their hand? Is there anybody else that you see has a capability to do the same thing?
I think Dan Mullen, you have to give him probably the next slot, because he's been part of a successful program down there under Urban Meyer, and he's got the swagger that I think is necessary. And Florida, I think, potentially is very dangerous. They have been down for a couple of years, and you know, when Florida's down, it makes it easier for Georgia, but I don't think they're down anymore. I'm not sure they're quite ready to make that move. Now, I will tell you that Jeremy Pruitt is an interesting coach, because I think he does replicate Saban in many respects, but I don't think Tennessee is in a position right now, or at least over the next couple of years. It's impossible to say they're going to be in a national championship-like position.
Finishing up with Paul Feinbaum from the SEC Network, as we said, you're going to be a part of the Business of Sports Summit next Thursday, 7:30 to 11 in the morning at the College Football Hall of Fame, covering a number of things, including you and Danny Sheridan talking about the future of sports betting. Finally, now, this is getting out into the open, and we're going to see how everybody across the board can try to capitalize on what's going on.
Yeah, listen, I don't have the expertise that Danny Sheridan does, but it is, if you act like it doesn't exist, you're going to get run over. And you know, listen, not pointing to 2 days ago with the FBI probe into college universities, but colleges and the NCAA to act like this doesn't exist is just purely farcical. I'm not suggesting that they blatantly endorse it and put you know, betting facilities in college stations, but they can't act like it doesn't exist either. And you know, give credit to Adam Silver in the NBA and others who have said, okay, it exists, let's figure out a way to work around it. I haven't heard much from college administrators yet, other than lip service, but that's typical, because you know, college administrators and executives at the NCAA want to act like they really have an amateur sport. I mean, I'm in a basketball tournament right now. There's one in Charlotte with Zion Williamson. Let's be real here,
Paul. Before we let you go, do you think the SEC will be 14 teams 10 years from now? Or do you think the 130 or so that are Division I, I'm sure you've talked about it, but do you think we're going to see that down the road, or are we going to get to the smaller 56 to 64 big boy schools who compete for theirs and everybody else is fighting for whatever is left over?
I think we'll see another explosion. It's not on the immediate to-do list, but at some point, you're going to see this collapsing again. Remember 2010, the Big 12 nearly joined forces. They wanted to with the Pac-12. And by the way, they should have. The Pac-12 is where the problem is. I mean, that conference is literally underwater right now. They can't do anything right. The commissioner's under assault. I think the Pac-12 is going to look for a partner at some point, and I think it will be the Big 12 again, because the Big 12 is the only major conference that doesn't have its own conference television network. The ACC starts in August. The SEC, the Pac-12 has one, although no one can see it, and the Big Ten has a very successful one. So I think they'll look for a merger, and that will open the door, I think, for the SEC, the Big Ten, and maybe the ACC to pick off one or two. But I don't think it will happen in the next 4 to 6 years.
All right, Paul, listen, looking forward to seeing you in town next week, next Thursday, the 21st of March, at the College Football Hall of Fame, the Business of Sports Summit. Paul and Danny Sheridan going to talk about the future of sports betting, among other topics going on that day. BizJournals.com/Atlanta. Click on events to pick up your tickets. Paul, hopefully we'll see you next week.
I look forward to it. It was a pleasure being on. See you guys soon.
Thank you, Paul.
There he is, Paul Feinbaum, on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Family-owned since 1995, 24/7 live tech support, loudsecurity.com, 678-GET-LOUD.